here. So I put together a boilerplate agenda for today. Didn't get a chance to cross-check this with Steve, but I just figured we'd follow the same process we had been for the past couple weeks on just going through issues and talking about Milestone 1. Steve, did you have anything in looking at the agenda now that you wanted to add or insert?
Not specifically. It's probably worth looking at the release timetable because we are, in fact, about a week behind where we intended to be in terms of kicking off Milestone 1. And just probably a quick review of where we've actually got to with the issues that are in Milestone 1, because according to the amended timetable, we should be closing that off at the end of this week.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of seeing where we are and how it's working, essentially. So, but otherwise, no, I'm happy with what you've got there.
Okay. Well, yeah, maybe we'll hit that. I've got the third bullet point of roundtable on Milestone 1, so we could just kick that off into the general discussion about timing on M1. So I thought we'd just start by looking at the newly submitted issues and see what applies. So, Steve, just as a quick update, last week we actually got through several of these, the old issues that were hanging out in JIRA for quite some time.
Cool.
And either scoped them or closed them or whatever. So there was some good traffic on the tracker mailing list. And we've whittled that down to not too many. I mean, it looks like about maybe a dozen. I think the normal process of trying to start with the later items, but maybe just scanning to see if there's anything real important up front. So I'm suggesting maybe for today that we just start with items that are marked as high priority or in red for their priority. So major priority or greater. Just to make sure we definitely hit those and then go back in time and kind of go in reverse order after that.
Yeah.
So just looking at the issues now, these are the ones that are in the received state. And I'm looking at FC Repo 662. This was marked as major. And I think we can safely just go ahead and open this, right? This was something that we talked about in London a little bit, but in reference to the high-level storage a little bit, but ultimately having sort of this end-to-end idea that when you shoot content in and the storage or something happens in the back end that's interesting, such as it's fully been replicated for the example of S3 or any other storage system that sends things in asynchronously, we'd like to be able to get some sort of status on what that is, on what's happened. So do we have a related issue to this, Dan, that we already put through, or is this the one?
I don't know if we have a related issue.
Okay. So this was the thing about possibly doing like a 503 on a get if the content is, you know, sitting back on tape somewhere. And I guess, I mean, to really make this realistic, end-to-end, more than just the REST API piece needs to be done, but... it needs to be supported at the low level. So,
I should say I don't think there's a dependent issue on this one. So,
yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I just saw this and figured we probably just neglected to open it when it was first submitted because it seems like something we've already discussed, right? So, no objections to opening?
No, but whatever we do code-wise and this is going to be superseded by the high-level storage idea.
Yeah.
But if we could get something working before then fine.
Yeah. Well, it isn't scoped right now for 3-4, and I don't know that it makes sense to. So,
Perhaps we should link it to the high level. I don't know what correct link would be. Something like might be superseded by. But I don't think it does support that.
Yeah. Well, I think this relates to high level, but in that the ultimate solution will require high level storage awareness of this.
Mm-hmm.
But this issue itself is written in terms of just making sure the REST API provides support. Obviously, it doesn't really make sense to roll out such a feature until it's until it's actually supported end to end. So it may, in the end, require the first real implementation of this may be going through high level storage. So I'm just adding a comment to that. We'll probably go through high level storage post 3-4. Okay. The other one that was, I actually marked this as significant because I just wanted to see if it made sense for looking at for 3-4 to make sure we hit it today. This is FC repo 691. And this is an issue that's, Aaron actually commented on this as well, but basically there's an issue depending on the database you're using. If a really long field comes in for the resource index, like a DC field, depending on what the database does, this can cause the triple store to reach an inconsistent state and require a rebuild. So I actually logged this in response to an email I got from someone at VTLS they're supporting a customer who's having some trouble with this right now. Actually, they've been having some trouble for a while. And I suspect what's happening in their case is they have a DC field that's too long, and it was able to be persisted in the regular DC fields table during the commit. But when it got sent through Trippy and into Oracle in their case, but it would apply if they were using Postgres as well. The way Trippy works is it keeps a buffer of all that information, and so it's asynchronously flushing, and the flush fails. And so suddenly you're left with, the objects in the repository, but the index on the back end is inconsistent because the field is too long. Now, if you were running over like MySQL, that wouldn't be an issue because it silently truncates, which you might argue is actually worse behavior. But so Aaron pointed out this other issue, FC repo 682, which is related to this. And 682 is already scoped for 3-4. And the idea there was just to change the column type to long text. So I'm kind of wondering, does this solution for 682 apply to, or could it be applied to 691 as well?
I don't think so.
What's that?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Because that's sort of a MySQL thing. I was kind of pointing to it because, in case the solution to this was to offer a configuration option to just generally truncate long fields for, putting into databases, either the RI or field search. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
if we wanted to go that route, it would be something that, you know, could be applied to both.
It's true too.
But
so is the but does the I mean the solution suggested by 682 is, well, at least for MySQL, is to change it to long text.
Yeah, that would fix this issue for MySQL only.
Okay. And there's no analogous fix for Postgres or
No, because in Postgres the problem is not the data type, the problem is the index. You know,
okay.
and that it has a limitation that the index must be less than 1/3 of a page size, which is 8 kilobytes. So, you know, each index entry is limited to around 2K. It may be possible to alter like the DDLs or something like that, such that only the first 2,000 characters are indexed, you know, but,
yeah,
you know, that's a Postgres specific way, solution.
Yeah. So there are at least two places in the database where these, where the fields are applicable here. I mean, where they could be too long. Some fields are, you know, automatically checked for length limitations beforehand and just rejected if so, like PID and things like that.
Yeah, but if you have like a treatise for DC description, you know, like paragraph upon paragraph, that's, you know,
yeah,
that's problematic. And I would argue sort of, you know, gets to the point where it's more or less useless for indexing purposes, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think that, I mean, that's essentially challenging the solution suggested by 682 here, right? Let's see, Steve and Eddie had commented on this before. So, I guess Eddie's not on. Steve, what do you think about that?
I think it would be helpful to upfront test for any database limits, whether they are field search or resource index, and then optionally either truncate or throw an error. Certainly an inconsistent state is not desirable. So I guess that would be my preference. I think with 682, all we're really doing is bringing MySQL into a, so that it's consistent with the other databases that we could use, simply because the MySQL limit is much smaller than the Postgres one, for example. So it's kind of related, but also could be treated separately. And whatever we do for 691, in addition, in terms of checking limits, we might want to apply to 682 as well as changing the field type.
Okay, so you're saying actually maybe this is, you know, we still continue with 682 for the thing that creates the tables, for the MySQL case, so the MySQL DDL generator.
I would say so.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea anyway, you know, just for the sake that, you know, at least the data type of it is consistent with other databases. So, yeah.
Okay.
Is 682, is that actually related to the triple store or?
No.
That's right. That's parallel to it. One thing that I guess I have some reservation about is being a little bit too arbitrary field by field in DC, and I would think twice before we started to assign, you know, that description to be long text in this database and not relation, which is what this other one is about. But that one's also about the triple store. I guess one concern I would have is not laying out a broader policy about those core Dublin core, those core DC fields. And then the other is just to say that this is agreeing, I think, with the assertion I think Aaron just made about the relative uselessness of long descriptions in the triple store, in that you know, there's not really a good, the query language that is in operation against the triple store is not really for doing things like finding substring values of a literal value of a of some predicate. So there, I think actually, you know, maybe throwing up a warning message, but just truncating in the triple store context, you know, via trippy, makes a lot of sense. Whereas in the context of 682, you're just in a slightly different, you have different operational assumptions about how that data is going to be used, I guess.
So
I have one question. This isn't something I've actually done with respect to Mulgara, but this is you're only talking about trippy for this particular problem.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure actually where it makes most, because the way trippy works is it's in this buffer. You know, it's sort of divorced from Fedora by the time it gets into trippy asynchronously. There is like a question about whether the checking, if we do any kind of truncation or checking, whether it actually belongs in trippy or whether it actually has to happen before it gets into trippy for practical reasons. But I think the issue Ben was pointing out is that in general, sending the text into the triple store, sending really long text values into the triple store, doesn't really make much sense, because the reason you get it into the triple store is to be able to query relations for the most part. However,
I understand. I was just thinking about the Mulgara and its occasional use of long resources, especially in conjunction with the integrated Lucene.
Yeah, so there is an option in Mulgara to do Lucene-style searches on, and I think that's off by default in our installation, but people have used it.
Yeah.
It sounds like we should perhaps consider a more general solution to this. The first point that always occurs to me with these kind of problems is why we actually index in all these fashions the DC data stream. But fair enough, we're not going to change that in 3.4, even though I feel we should change it in a later version. But what about actually devising some sort of customizable transformation mechanism for going from DC to whatever is going to the triple store, like an XSLT, and that transformation mechanism could also truncate?
Yeah, so truncation could be, if it were designed as a transformation, it could be implemented in terms of a style sheet.
Yeah, that could actually be done as part of FC Repo 653.
Let's see where that is. 653. Construct. Okay, declarative specification. Yeah. So at least that would speak to the triple store portion of it. It in terms of how the implementation is done. I mean, that would be an obvious opportunity to actually do that truncation.
And also in terms of a general pattern for where we're going, having transformations like this is a very good pattern.
So, yeah, I'm thinking of the scope of this and the relative priorities. So, you know, we have this issue, which is, I think it's a fairly big deal, because you get, you can get in an inconsistent state, which requires a rebuild, which for very large repositories can be an extremely expensive operation. So there's the question of, you know, if we say 691 belongs to Fedora 3.4 because of its priority. If there's agreement on the priority, then if we say that the way it's implemented needs to use FcRepo 653, then that suddenly brings a requirement to do FcRepo 653 into 3.4.
Yeah, I don't know. I see that as being slightly different in that you're specifying what gets put in the triple store, although the transformation pattern as to how it gets put in and whether it's truncated could be done as part of that. But I can see a general kind of limits type case. I mean, we've got a config file at the moment, haven't we, that specifies field types. That presumably could be extended to specify what the limits are, perhaps per database type. And then in fedora.fcfg, we could specify there an option of whether you want to actually truncate or throw an error. But that wouldn't cover the resource index, would it?
No. Which is, yeah, I mean, there's MPT store, but then there's MPT store, and then there's Trippy. And, you know, MPT store happens to have something similar to our DDL, our DB spec file for Fedora. But driving it off of that couldn't be done in a real consistent way. I mean, I guess, it could also be considered to be a configuration option on the specific module that you're working with, so it doesn't tie into, you know, whether it's persisted in the database or not. It's just a truncation. And
we could treat them separately. We could have one in the triple store configuration.
Yeah.
And one in the config file we've already got for the field search configuration.
Yeah, so the DB spec.
Yeah.
I guess it could be thrown in DB spec. You're thinking, well, in that case, I mean, that's been more imagined as sort of the static file that nobody really changes. It just happens to be text-based, so it needs to be in.
Yeah, but that could include the actual database imposed limits, which shouldn't actually need to change for different database specific field types. And then the configuration option would be whether to truncate or to throw an error. So it's not really a user configurable option of saying how much of the field you want in there. It's just dealing with the hard database limits.
I gotcha. So if we were to throw the limits in there, those are hard limits, and then the question. Yeah, the determination people make is just truncate or deny. Yeah.
Yeah, and then it could be a separate issue if we want to go down the path of deciding what gets put into field search and what gets into the resource index, and how they get stored, whether they get truncated as well or trimmed down for indexing purposes. That could be treated as a separate issue. This is really just dealing with hard database limits and making sure that in itself doesn't cause a problem.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense to me. So the solution suggested for now then is to have the DO fields table, wherever that's configured, to be able to do, to put the length limits in DB spec. And use that to enforce a configurable truncate or reject option that's set in Fedora FCFG, right?
Yeah, and then something similar on the resource index side, wherever the equivalent to DB spec is.
Yeah, I'm trying to think where that reasonably goes. But right, because that could be just written as a config specifically for MPT store. If you're using MPT store, I mean, because this actually isn't an issue with Mulgara, because it can handle very, very long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It, and handling it in a similar way, basically, as to wherever that DDL is effectively specified for MPT store.
Yeah, and the interesting thing with if you configure it, I mean, if it's enforced at the MPT store level, the way that Fedora is currently integrated with MPT Store is through Trippy. And so if the policy is to reject, that can actually be problematic. I mean, because by the time it gets there, by the time it gets to MPT Store, it's already been assumed to be successfully written to, you know, regular low-level storage. So it's been kind of committed at that point.
We could put in a warning that says if you're going to use reject here, use synchronous updates for the resource index.
Alternatively, you put the checking more up front, so before it actually gets passed through Trippy.
Yeah. Although, it seems more elegant to do it at the MPT Store level, because that's the thing that's really imposing the requirement to do it anyway.
Yeah, but that ultimately doesn't solve this issue, does it?
Yeah, I mean, the only option, if you wanted to get good performance, would be to, if it were implemented at the MPT Store level, would be to truncate, to set it to truncate. So it could be done as a resource index configuration, and that would support reject and truncate, because that could be caught beforehand.
Yeah.
Then it probably shouldn't be an option. It's just what is being done in 3.4 as opposed to 3.3 who made inconsistent states.
So you're saying shouldn't be an option?
Yeah, if we cannot reasonably handle the reject case, then truncate is just what we do. At the moment, we just make the resource index inconsistent. In 3.4, we just truncate instead.
Yeah,
sounds sensible to me. Yeah. I mean, if you were doing like a bulk ingest of a whole bunch of stuff, would you actually want to come back and, you know, edit each object that it failed on? Or do you know if we treat MPT Store as essentially, you know, a runtime cache of the data? You'd probably want it in there as far as you could. Would be most useful.
Yeah. So that would. So what I'm seeing are really two options here. Then I mean, we've got put it in. You know, put the checking in resource index, and then you allow for reject or truncate options, or if it goes in MPT Store, it becomes not even an option but a truncate decision. I mean, it might actually be an option, but we set it by default to, you know, truncate. So the latter, the MPT Store solution seems pretty reasonable to me. I can't think of, I mean, I guess we could have MPT Store log the fact that it, you know, whenever it truncates something automatically, just so people know, but, I can't think of a really great reason to want to reject those items at the MPT Store level, particularly if their database at the DC level, or, you know, for DC fields, is capable of handling something longer, then it seems like a shame to reject the whole thing just because the triple store can't deal with values quite that long.
Yeah.
So it sounds like for resource index, add a truncate option defaults to true for, you know, some length threshold.
Yeah, it makes sense to me.
Yeah. Okay.
We could even make it make the resource index module only do the truncate if it fails the ingest. As in, it attempts to put the stuff in, and only if it fails does it try to do truncate or work on that.
That would work if it was synchronous, but unfortunately, by the time you know whether MPT Store has successfully written something, your Fedora is done with the operation.
No, you're misunderstanding.
Okay.
Or maybe you're misunderstanding me. Depends on the resource index is still a service inside Fedora, is it not?
It is.
So at some point, this service is still alive within the web service. The user it's just an implementation detail. We don't have to truncate everything. We don't have to check everything. We only have to check the length of the fields if we fail to put it in the resource index.
Yeah. I guess if the thing is, if the triple changes go from the resource index module into Trippy, which puts it into a big queue, basically. And then that queue is flushed later on. And the only time that MPT Store, which sits behind Trippy, has a chance to reject a triple is as it's flushing that queue, as it's actually dealing with items on the queue. So
where is the error message? Basically, who picks up the error message from MPT Store? That's the one who should put a corrected set of triples on the queue.
That's the one that should. I think as we were talking, we were saying, let's put this in MPT Store, just a pure truncate option. Let's see. So maybe what you're saying is in MPT Store, if sending it to the database fails, try to truncate it afterwards, or?
Yeah, in MPT Store, wherever you can do, where you can reissue the command with the truncated data. It was just to speed things up so I don't have to check the length of every field upon every change, but only had to do something if it broke.
Well, that could be quite expensive if, you know, let's say you're using a database like Postgres where, you know, the limit is relatively low and you've got a lot of times where you end up having to make, you know, calls to the database, which are relatively expensive, and they continue, you know, if a lot of those fail, then you could have avoided all that by just in Java checking the length of a string, which is quite a speedy operation.
Okay, if that's more efficient, forget what I said.
Okay. So, MPT Store, do it in MPT Store, add a truncate option. Sounds good?
Yeah.
Okay. Then I'll go ahead and open that one for open etc repo 691, but we also need to add one for the DO fields table. So I'm going to open this for now.
It does strike me that for 4.0, post 4.0, that intrinsically asynchronous resources that adding the ticketing mechanism is probably going to have to be part of it. I don't recall whether we talked about that much before, and it's not important to talk about it now.
Yeah, but you're saying essentially some kind of signal back so that there is some sort of opportunity to recover.
If it is an asynchronous resource like this that can fail, then rather than hold on to the error in the request response, you go ahead, but the client can call back with a correspondence ID. And say, did it really work?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that pattern can be can give us a more, ultimately more robust system, certainly. You know, because there are still cases where, you know, in any asynchronous model where once it's sent off and you just kind of forget about it, then, you know, that can fail in a variety of ways. This is just one way that we've observed that
right.
is problematic.
Right.
Yep. So before I forget, I'm going to go ahead and add another issue here for too long DC field values. Can cause the real behavior, I guess, right now for the DO fields table is that things sometimes get truncated, like for MySQL, but sometimes it just causes an error in other databases. So we want the option to truncate or reject regardless of the database, right?
Yeah, right.
It's probably worth linking that to 682 because they're kind of related. They could be done together.
Yeah.
I'm really lacking the more granular kind of relations we can have in Fedora and Dura. Related or could be done together. So I really...
Yeah, we do have the ability to add our own custom link types, but we've only got three of them defined so far. But luckily, Jira does, if you just enter it in the description, will let you, it will automatically hyperlink it for you. So that's at least
okay.
So the issue is, the one I'm linking to is 682.
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess we could just create... The nice thing about having a formal link, though, is you get the two-way linkage. So I guess we could create a link type for that. I mean, just create a brand new link type, which is like generally related or, you know, sort of a loose relation. Okay. I'm just going to add that as an action for now. And then I can do that afterwards. Aaron, were you about to say something?
No, I was not.
Oh, okay. I thought I heard somebody starting. Okay. I think maybe we should, since we got those covered, maybe we should kick on to 3-4 specific items. But actually, I wanted to check on that one, the one we just opened. Do we want to scope that? Is there any agreement that SCP post 691, that's the resource index related one, should be resolved for 3-4? Or...
It seems relatively high priority to me. Like you say, I mean, forcing people to rebuild a triple store and hand edit objects is pretty inconvenient, although I guess it doesn't touch that many people. It hasn't actually got any votes on it, has it?
No, it hasn't. I mean, the only report of this I've seen so far is the message I got from VTLS on their customer having hit this. So, yeah, I don't know how frequently this sort of thing happens, really. I suspect it happens anytime you're using MPT store. With Postgres even, that, you know, so there's a chance for it to happen.
Yeah, maybe we knock the priority down and put it in the release, and then it's on the list if there's time, or if people vote for it. Although I don't know. I mean, yeah, inconsistent state is not good.
Yeah, it's not data loss. It's, but it, you know, depending on the size of the repository, this can really screw you over. Any other thoughts on that?
Well, the symbolics machine used to say operation that you just did had an error. Things may be inconsistent. I'm just joking.
Oh, okay. I didn't catch the beginning of that.
I just liked their error message that you hit all the time, that they don't actually tell you anything's wrong. They just tell you that things may be inconsistent.
Who is that?
Symbolics list machines.
Oh. Things may, there's a chance that things may be inconsistent. Yeah. I think we should print that as like a startup message, you know, for Fedora, just all the time. It'll always be true. No. Okay. So I guess I'll do what Steve suggested, and maybe even though there's inconsistency here, it does feel like it's not happening with, I mean, so far we're not getting the report of a lot of people on this. So maybe knock the priority down to minor and keep it for 3-4 or set it.
Yeah,
up. That's right. Sound good? Okay. Okay. Cool. So going back to our main agenda here, since we're almost an hour in, we should hit the other items. So we had issues with votes. We actually, I'm not sure if we got to this last week. We ended up spending a lot of time last week talking about the older issues and getting through some of the stuff that's been there for a while, which was good. But I looked at these last week, and it looks like some have been, we've had some additional votes on some of these issues. So I was kind of wondering what to do about those.
I guess date-wise, I mean, theoretically, we finished the end of this milestone at the end of this week. So it's probably not appropriate to add any of these to this milestone. But as part of the exercise of deciding what goes to the next milestone, we should just take account of these votes. So we could probably skip these for now.
Yeah. Sounds good. Yeah, they're, I guess the only question is whether, like, F-Series Post 64, if there's, maybe we make that decision when we kick off Milestone 2, whether that priority goes up, or,
yeah,
I noticed that as 4 votes now.
Yeah,
but okay.
I decided to do it as one exercise then, actually, yeah.
Okay. Sounds good. So
it's good to see that we have got some votes coming in on these. So.
Yeah. It's good to know you're making some people happy, at least.
Yeah, well, in terms of percentage of the Fedora users community, it's not that high.
Yeah. Okay. So, on this is something that last week I was just going around to see what the progress was real quick on our individual Milestone 1 items. So, you know, I thought I would maybe just kick off and go around and see if anybody else has any new items for what's been going on with Milestone 1. Really, the only item I got to was something this morning, which was just closing out the issue. Now I forget what the issue number was. But it was the issue where the person was having trouble installing Fedora. And it turned out that was actually...
Hi.
Oh, is that Kai? Oh, okay. the person was actually trying to install Tomcat 6 with what looks like an older version, so that was pretty easy to close out. I guess the major things I've got on my plate right now, which I really need to make some progress on, unfortunately haven't yet, are the modularization, the Spring stuff, and making the defaults be for low-level storage being a Kubra. So once again, hopefully I'll be able to get to that this week. So that's my report. Any other people have progress to report on Milestone 1?
I've got little progress to report, but I'm hoping to pick up a couple of the unassigned ones at some point this week.
Yeah, I should actually maybe draw attention. There was based on Steve's pleading a couple of weeks ago, I had assigned myself something about the admin servlet, and it turns out that the problem there is in the Flash widget and not the servlet. So I misunderstood that issue, and I'm not the person to address that. So there are some things that were assigned that have drifted into back into unassigned.
Okay.
Okay. In 3.4 milestone 1, I might have reported this already. I did some work with ECM and giving it a home on the wiki. ECM adding that to Fedora, at least the it's slated for milestone 1 is not code. It's understanding.
Okay, so enhanced content modeling. So the wiki updates are on the wiki on SourceForge, or
No, they should be on the Fedora wiki. The SourceForge wiki is going to die at some point. But apparently, I didn't link it in the issue. That was I did. Yeah.
Okay.
It grew a few subpages.
Oops, wrong chat.
It's not that far from being done, but it's not done yet. But it's mainly getting documented the design. That's milestone 1 slated. The validate method is still in a received state.
Oh, is that something we should?
It depends really. It's fixed version 3.4, but never been opened.
So it sounds like maybe it's just we neglected to open it, but.
Yeah, I didn't open it myself, and it's minor stuff, so it never got discussed at one of these meetings. It's 6.8.5, but I'm clicking open now.
Okay.
But without that, it's just having an API method that allows you to validate an object against its content models. And the method will be there in 3.4. The method might not do the full validation. That depends on time, but the method will be there and will do some sort of validation.
Okay. There's also 6.84 that's still in the receive state. I'm just looking real quick. Clone object as an alternative to ingest. So this was something I remember we talked about at London, and it seemed like we agreed that having a simple clone would be a good thing.
Yeah, I didn't link it to ECM because it's not directly related to the content model. So, we did discuss it. I think we agreed on it.
So I guess the question of 3-4, I don't know how much time is, or if it seems like an extension to the API.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to create incompatibilities. So is 3-4, Steve, do you think 3-4 is reasonable to put it in that bucket for now?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and just click open on that one too.
Yeah. Then I assign it to me because at least the first implementation I can easily do. It's lacking its brother function, but that one is not going for 3-4. It's something we discussed at the London meeting as well. That's the ability to update a whole object the same way as ingesting.
Yeah.
You can check out an object, modify it, and then re-ingest it as an update to the old object rather than a new object.
Right. So on the enhanced content model stuff, I mean, I get the sense that, you know, in London we talked about really wanting to have that stuff in to fold in those pieces, that especially on the validation side. Asghar, do you think it would be valuable for us to do maybe a special topics on that sometime soon? I mean, are you looking for any feedback on how to integrate this stuff right now? Or
I have a little. There's one little thing I took another path from what we discussed in London. It's not a biggie, but I feel people should know about it. Aside from that, there's a few outstanding issues, but a special topic that could perhaps be sort of a review of the documentation I've made, which is not done yet.
Okay.
But when that is done, a special topic where people can regard the design and say, no, we should change it like that.
Yeah. I think that would be good too.
Yeah.
So, within sometime in the next maybe couple of weeks, we do that.
Yeah, a couple of weeks, because this week is partly over already due to Thursday's a holiday. And,
okay.
And next week I'm spending a lot of time in Berlin for Planet's conference. So.
Okay.
So week 21 is the earliest. I'll be back with significant time.
Side note, Asghar, I'd like to talk to you about planets at a later time, because we're working with the Tesla folks.
Oh, yeah. I knew Aaron would like to talk to me as well. That was Dan who said that, wasn't it?
That was Dan, and I know Aaron wants to be part of the conversation too.
Yeah, perhaps if there's two of you, we should actually set up some sort of conference about it. But I would like to talk to you. My views on planets are not entirely positive, but you'll get more about that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and actually, when you have that, since I'm involved in the DC work too, I'd like to at least listen in on that discussion. Okay, is any other status type items for milestone one, or should we maybe reel back and look at the big picture for the scheduling now?
I've got one item to report. That's FC repo 509. REST API does not properly handle ingest with Proxima that does not contain a PID. I've made some progress with this issue, and it's mostly done, but it turned out to be more complicated than I anticipated, because it involves changing the one of the management methods, or from the management interface, because the code must be able to sneak in the PID that is passed in as a parameter via the REST API. And so the management interface changes. This has a lot of repercussions on the other parts of the code, especially the journaling. It's not visible to the outside.
yeah.
For any other code, but especially the journaling. So.
Oh yeah. Journaling, and is it an issue also for messaging?
Yes, partly, yes. But it's not that visible there.
Yeah. I am so looking forward to the high-level storage and the separation between the storage format and the input format.
Okay. Anything else on status? All right. So I think, Steve, now's the time.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the bigger picture, we've got quite a number of outstanding items for Milestone 1, which we were going to try and complete for the end of this week. In terms of overall dates, it probably makes sense, actually, to end stuff on the end of a Monday rather than Friday, just to make it sync up with our meetings, just as a general thought, to shift it by a day.
That makes sense to me.
But, I mean, my guess is that we're not going to get the Milestone 1 items completed by the end of this week, but that's, yeah, you know, just part of the learning process of seeing if we can manage it in this iterative fashion. So.
Yeah, I think it is our default behavior is probably just to roll those into M2.
Yeah, and probably take more of a careful look at what we're trying to achieve in Milestone 2,
mm-hmm,
based on the experience of Milestone 1.
That makes sense. So the official, even though, I mean, we shifted back 1 week from where we originally thought, I mean,
yeah,
to kick off Milestone 1. So the now, the official end of Milestone 1 is what day?
End of Monday, I would say, which would be...
Okay.
So it's shifting back a week and a day, rather than just a week. I'll basically go ahead and amend the calendar that's there.
Okay. And that's in the, say, I'll paste that. That's the release timetable. Yeah.
Yeah. That's an action on me too.
Yeah, well, hopefully I'll be able to close an issue by then. So I guess on Tuesday then we'll sort of officially close out start M2 and start rolling.
Yes,
that
would be a good point to actually review the voting list alongside what we didn't manage to get done in M1 and work out what we put in Milestone 2.
Okay. Any other items for the people want to bring up for today's meeting, or? Okay, so I guess we'll close it up for today. Thanks, everybody, and good luck getting through your Milestone 1 items this week.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, see ya.
The moderator has disconnected.